Hey, let's look at the book of Philemon once again. That's in the New Testament, after the book of Titus, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, then Philemon, then Hebrews. We're in Philemon. It's a very short book, only one chapter. Only 25 verses. And yet we're on lesson 18. So let's see what else we can learn from this short letter written by the Apostle Paul to a businessman by the name of Philemon concerning a slave by the name of Onesimus. This morning we'll start at verse number 10. Philemon and verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So he said, this man is willing to be my servant as I preach the gospel, and I'm willing to retain him, to keep him here with me. But it wouldn't be right, so I'm going to send him back to you. Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. But willingly. All right, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, as we study this subject of a willing mind and the importance of it, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to look at our activities, to look at what we've been doing, the ways we've been serving you, and determine whether we've been doing these things willingly or for duty's sake or for some other reason. Help us, Lord, to make sure that as we serve you, we want to serve you. It is our desire to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, this is a short book, isn't it? But it's really loaded up. It's really full of a lot of truth. And what we gather from the 13th verse here is that Onesimus would have been useful to Paul. And that's a great thing. Somebody gets saved, they should immediately become useful to the pastor, to the preacher, to the ministers of the gospel. We learn that Paul was in need of a faithful servant. And if someone as great as Paul the Apostle needed help in his work and his ministry, well, whatever your ministry or your field of service is, you need help. And you ought to take it wherever you can get it and be glad to have it. And Paul would have accepted Onesimus as Philemon's substitute. It's not possible for everybody to serve in one area or serve in another, but everyone can serve somewhere. And Philemon, this businessman Philemon, he had responsibilities that kept him from being able to travel with Paul. Paul was always traveling. And so Paul said, I would have gladly taken Onesimus in your place, and I would have counted that as your service, if that had been possible. Verse 14, we have to read it in this context. According to the law, Hebrew law, Roman law, according to the law, Onesimus was Philemon's property. Paul had no right to keep him. It's indicated by his words that he wanted to keep him. He'd be glad to keep him. He was willing to keep him, but he had no right to keep him. It's quite possible that Paul understood that there were risks that Onesimus would face if he returned to Philemon, having escaped from there, it could have gone very badly for the man. So in that sense, Paul would have been justified in keeping Onesimus for safety's sake. He would have been justified emotionally, spiritually, humanely, but not legally. Not legally. And so, as we've seen in previous lessons, we are duty-bound as Christians to do what is right, not what we wish was right. To do what is stated to be the law and not what we would like the law to be. And so Paul does the right thing in sending this man back as a matter of duty. But he sends him back with this letter that we're studying. And in that letter, he requests that Philemon set this man free so that he can minister to Paul and help Paul and be of service to Paul as the gospel is spread throughout the world. And here is the heart of the matter that we want to talk about this morning in verse 14. But without thy mind, would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Willingly. And I don't know that enough of you, enough of God's people anywhere, understand the difference between being a free servant and being under bondage. Whenever a minister in this day and age urges, encourages, preaches, sets forth God's commands, he runs the risk of people saying, he's just trying to tell me what to do. He's just trying to make me do what I don't want to do. Well, if I could make you do what you don't want to do, you would not do it well, and you would not be doing it for very long. If I could force you to go with me as I go out door knocking, and I could do that, and you would, as quickly as you could, you would disappear. You would depart to a place where you didn't feel that you were being forced to do something you didn't want to do. We could force you onto a bus and make you go downtown to pass out gospel tracts once, maybe twice. We could shame you into greater participation in our church services. We could threaten you into a larger donation in the offering, but only temporarily. Because resentment, fear, bitterness, all of those things are very, very poor motivators in a long-term sense. If you are willing to read your Bible from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation in the year 2016, if you're willing to do that, you will. And we will remind you to do it. We will encourage you to do it. And we might even set up a reading schedule to help you so you can do it. But if you don't want to do it, you won't. You won't even finish Genesis in 1 month. If you're willing to support foreign missions, you will. Now, we could have a faith promise campaign. We could have a pledge campaign. We could have a fund drive. We could have a meet the missionaries night. We could have a missions conference of some sort. We could show slides and video presentations every single week. But if you don't want people in foreign lands to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, your pledges will go unfulfilled, your promises will be broken, and soon you'll be viewing the church as just a group of money-loving people who are trying to get your money. See, we have the Word of God, and it's the greatest book on the face of the earth. It is absolute truth in every page, in every verse. We have in this place, whether I stand in the pulpit or others fill in for me, we have that truth in the that Bible truth proclaimed in a clear and straightforward manner, so that you might understand it, so that you might learn, so that you might be challenged, so that you might be convicted. That's here. We have music that honors the Lord and glorifies Jesus Christ. We have opportunities to serve in any way your heart might desire, if your heart's desire is proper. But nobody can make you get saved. Nobody can make you live the Christian life. Nobody can make you be faithful. Nobody can make you enjoy it. My brother, at some point, you've got to have a willing mind, or else all of it is of none effect. Sister, at some point, you've got to have a willing mind, or every opportunity that's available to you means nothing. God has given man a will. You can debate every angle of that you want to, but you don't always do what God wants you to do. And he doesn't break your arms or shatter your dreams or take your job away when you don't do what he wants you to do. You know, it's funny, these men always threaten death if you don't tithe, but they don't threaten death if you don't witness. You know, if you don't pay your tithes, God's going to get you. Well, why is it always about the money, the tithe? Okay, there's other things that God's told you to do, not just giving. Okay, let's take one simple, often quoted verse in the Bible. Ye shall be my witnesses. All right? Well, how many preachers say, if you don't witness, God's going to get you? And you can couple that with other verses. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, lift up your voice and cry aloud, spare not. Now, all of us do not do that all the time. None of us does that as faithfully as the Lord has demanded in his word. And here we sit this morning, having not done everything God wants us to do. Here we are. We're all clothed. We're all well fed. We have homes to live in. We have cars to drive. We have a measure of good health. Okay, why? Because not only do you have a will that often goes against God's will, but he quite frequently allows you to, play around in your own will. And so while the Bible sits before you on your dining room table or on your bedstand, it's not forced open and shoved in your face. I mean, you could pick up a sports magazine. You could pick up a romance novel or a biography, or you could pick up anything you want to, whatever you want to read, and read it. And God is not going to paralyze your arms and smite you with blindness. See, reading the Bible depends upon your being willing to read the Bible. You say, well, I wish I knew the Bible better. That's not so, because anyone who wants to know the Bible better can know the Bible better. See, yes, it sounds spiritual to make a statement like that. I sure wish I knew the Bible better, but it actually shows a lack of spirituality, because if there were a willingness to know the Bible better, there are many, many means available whereby a person could know the Bible better. There's no excuse for not knowing it better. Well, you know, I'd really like to somehow have the Lord use me in His service. Well, great, we're going out tomorrow night. Why don't you join us? Well, that's not what I meant. Well, I'd really like for God to put me in the ministry. Wonderful. We'll be ministering to people downtown on Friday afternoon. Well, no, that's not what I had in mind. Look, if there's a willingness, there is an opportunity. If there's a willingness, there is an enabling. If there's a willingness, there is an open door. And all the open doors in the world, and all the abilities in the world, and all the opportunities in the world amounts to nothing if you are not willing. Philemon had it in his power to receive Onesimus, his servant, back home as a brother, a new believer in Christ. If he is not willing to do that, he can whip him and beat his brains in. Philemon has the opportunity to honor the request of his friend, the Apostle Paul. If he's not willing, he will completely disregard the letter when he gets it. But since it is in the Bible, I have a feeling that he took heed to this letter, or else that he would have just torn it up and we would have never seen it. Okay. But if he wasn't willing, he would have just disregarded it and done what he wanted to Onesimus. Philemon has the opportunity to send Onesimus back to set him free and let him minister to the Apostle Paul for the rest of his life. But can you see, having the opportunity, having the means, having the open door, all of that can be made ineffective, useless, if there's not a willingness on the part of Philemon here. There's not a young man here that could not be greatly used of God throughout the entirety of your life. But if you're not willing, it will never happen. There's not a young lady here who couldn't spend your life giving honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not willing, nothing's going to come of that. That 14th verse again says, "But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly." Y'all, have you heard of a shotgun wedding? You know what a shotgun wedding is? Somebody wants his daughter to get married, and she doesn't want to, so he puts the shotgun up to his head and says, "You will marry this guy." That's a shotgun wedding. And, you know, I don't know, when I think about that, you know, there's a lot of jokes about that, who'd want to be married to a woman? Think about this. Would you want to be married to a woman who the only reason she said "I do" is because that shotgun was at her head? I have a feeling that marriage is not going to be a good one, and it certainly won't last. It's not going to end up very well because she wasn't willing. Well, I don't know how many people would serve God for any length of time if their pastor is constantly threatening them with slaughter and judgment if they don't. Eventually, that continual, compulsory, mandatory service, that's going to break you. It'll wear you out. And you'll quit. We have a church that tries to find ways that we can serve the Lord together, even with our very different work schedules. And I encourage you to join us when you can, but only if you're willing. And no one gets shunned or rejected or threatened or treated badly if they say, "No, thank you. I don't want to go with you. I don't want to do that." But if you're willing, we're happy to have you join us. Happy to have you. In fact, we're happy to hear your ideas as you try to encourage the rest of us to serve the Lord. There's an empty corner. There's an empty spot. There's a place that would be perfect to have somebody standing with a gospel tract in one hand and a New Testament in the other. There's a place that's just right for a smiling individual to tell someone about our Savior. But we can't handcuff you. We can't drag you down there and stand you on that spot, and we won't do that. We won't sign you up for anything that you don't want to do. But thank God for people who are always willing. If you're not, we're not going to stand you up here in front of the church and say, this is the man who refused to pass out gospel tracts. Let's all take off one shoe and spit in his direction. But if you're willing, there's someone that you could tell about Jesus Christ. Now here in Kuwait, we may not have the opportunities that you would find in the United States or in other places. In most cities in the U.S., you can find a rescue mission where you can go and you can preach to 50 to 100 men. And they won't walk out on you, because if they do, they won't get any free food. That's a good crowd. Then in every town, you're going to find several retirement communities and hospitals where the elderly are happy to see young people come in just to visit them. And you can talk about Jesus. Most prisons will allow you to go in and minister to individuals or hold a weekly church service. Well, I know those doors are not open to us here in Kuwait. There are no old folks' homes. There's no homeless shelters, no rescue missions. We're not allowed anywhere near the prisons because they're full of Muslims and they don't want us to convert any of them. We can't stand on a street corner and preach to the crowds as they go by. Oh, we could, but it would only last for about 2 minutes, I believe, before someone would drag us to the authorities and make sure we were deported as quickly as possible. That is, if they were merciful. Some would be angry enough to kill us, and I know that because they've been known to kill for less. They bombed a mosque not long ago here because the Muslims that met there had different beliefs. Well, I dare say our beliefs are even more different than theirs. So yes, we do have to be creative. We have to be wise. And sometimes we need to be invisible, as that gospel tract just mysteriously appears in various places. You say, well, I'm a little intimidated when I talk to strangers, or even the thought of talking to strangers makes me nervous. Well, okay, we've got a crowd for you then. How about talking to people that you know? If they've been watching you and you've been living a proper Christian life in front of them, well, why wouldn't they listen to you? Or another option, you could go along with someone else and be a prayer partner as they witness to an individual, to a family, or a group of people. And you can be there to pray for those people, to keep an eye on things for safety, and try to prevent distractions, and even minister to children if they happen to be there. I believe that even with our limited field of opportunities in Kuwait, there's a lot more people here that we could minister to than you might think. In fact, if you were willing, I mean, if you really wanted to, I believe that you could win a person to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ every single week this year. It's not hard to do, but you do have to be willing. There's got to be a willingness. I suppose that if you were to talk to Brother Fogle, or one of our missionaries there in Israel, he would say that on some level he felt himself called to Israel. Brother Farnham would tell you that on some level he felt called to India. Brother Beyer would tell you on some level he felt called to Canada. All of these men and their wives, they would say that there was a certain tugging in this direction or that. And I would suggest to you that there are tens of thousands of other people, other Christians, sitting in a church at home who had felt the same call, the same tug, the same desire. They had responded in some church service or another on an altar of prayer to the same appeal to foreign missions, but they're not there. They didn't go. Why is Brother Chris in Philippines? Bob Chris? Because he was willing. Why is Brother George among the Indonesians? He was willing. Why is Brother Hearn in Israel? He was willing. So you can talk all you want to about your great call, but you've got to have a willing mind. And every one of us here knows, we all know that we ought to forgive. Are you willing? Everyone here knows we ought not to hold a grudge. Carry no bitterness, but are you willing? Every one of us here knows we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves, but are you willing? I mean, look, there's a great God in heaven. He could make you do anything. He could make you do anything, but he doesn't. He could force you against your will to do all manner of service, but he doesn't. You are free to be a servant. Isn't that a strange thing? Free to be a servant. To be a bondslave. You are free to submit yourself to strictness. Now, it's the duty and responsibility of Paul in writing this letter to put Philemon in a spot where he not only knows what God wants him to do, where he not only knows what is right, but where he is backed into a corner where if he takes any other course of action, he's going to feel guilty about it. That's Paul's job here. That's his purpose. But Philemon, he's free to do whatever he wants. There's not a 26th verse here that says, if you don't do what I'm asking, I'm coming to get you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Are you a man? Are you a woman? Well, here's the situation. There are commandments you've got to keep. Well, I don't keep them. Well, there's a Savior. That Savior died for you. Well, I don't know him. Well, there's a hell to end up in if you don't trust that Savior. Well, I don't know if I want to trust him. Okay, well, there's no other way into heaven and out of hell but by trusting Jesus. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does? He backs you into a corner. He puts you in a spot where if you don't do the one and only thing that you must do to be saved, you're going to feel guilty if you do anything else. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So then, why weren't you saved the first time you heard the gospel? Why are some people still not saved? And they have heard the gospel. And they've heard it more than once. Well, Stephen said it in Acts chapter 7. He said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. But they sure did feel guilty about it. You know, when that woman that had been taken in adultery stood there in John chapter 8. And Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." That Bible says, "They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Okay? Convicted by their own conscience. They had just heard truth. They know they're guilty. They know that it's about them. What did they do? They walked out. What should they have done? Trusted Jesus. But what had he done? He had backed them into a corner where the only way out was either receiving the truth or feeling guilty from then on. Now, as unpleasant as it is in this modern generation, that is the job of the Bible preacher. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Philemon, here's what I'm asking you to do. Philemon, here is the right course of action. Philemon, it's up to you. You can do it. You cannot do it. P.S. You're going to feel really rotten if you don't. Now, that's not Paul's fault. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. If I know I need to get saved and I don't get saved and I'm under conviction and that conviction can last for years, that doesn't mean that God's a bad God. It means my self-will is troubling me. My self-will is troubling me. Are you willing? Are you willing? We all know we should pray. Are you willing? We all know we should give. Are you willing? We all know we should love. Are you willing? We all know we should proclaim the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. But are you willing? We all know we should study. Are you willing? There has got to be a willing mind. And that's where your battle is. You say, "Oh, my heart, well, I'm not going to say that because in my heart, I do. I love the Lord. But in my thoughts, I often wander from him." Look in your Bibles in Romans chapter 12. Sixth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 12. Do you know why you're here this morning? Some of you are here this morning because you would have felt guilty if you didn't come. Well, I'm glad you're here. But that won't get you here very often. That won't keep you here. Some of you are here because you want to be here. And that'll keep you here till the Lord comes. Whether it's witnessing, whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's studying the Bible, willingness outlasts have to. Want to works better than got to. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Okay, so here's what you should do. He tells you what you ought to do. If you don't, he says you're unreasonable. But it's up to you. You can present your bodies or not present your bodies. I'm begging you to present your bodies, but it is up to you. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. All right, now watch. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may provide or prove that that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here's what is necessary. When I got saved, I got a new mind that made me willing to obey and to serve Jesus Christ. Now that salvation lasts forever, but that new mind, it tends to slip. That new mind tends to get preoccupied with other things. That new mind tends to get dragged in many different directions. And so, do you know what the scripture says? I need to renew my mind. I need to get my mind back to the place where it doesn't view serving the Lord as have to, but views serving the Lord as want to. Where it doesn't view doing right as have to, but where it views doing right as want to. I'm going to tell you something. If you get into that realm of have to, it will not last. It cannot last. We've got too much self-will about us. We've got too much rebellion about us. We've got too much stubbornness about us. None of us wants to have to in anything. But if you can get in that realm of want to, I want to pray, I want to give, I want to serve, I want to attend, I want to study, I want to read, I want to witness, I want to be a good father, I want to be a good husband. If you get into the realm of want to, you know, tell me how, tell me more, show me this, show me that, instruct me, teach me, guide me, because I want to. I want you to know, want to outlasts have to. Want to carries a lot more power than have to. Want to is much more rewarding than have to. Want to is much more attractive than have to. You say, well, why do we have to read our Bible? Well, you won't be soon. Why do we have to sit through two services on Friday? Well, you won't be soon. Why do we have to witness? You'll quit. But if it is, how come we only meet twice a week? How come the Bible study was so short this morning? How come we're not having something tonight? Hey, there's something we can participate in. Are we going? See, if you ever get into that realm of want to, you can't get enough. You won't be able to get enough. If you're in the realm, though, of have to, well, you've had too much already. It's true. You have to take your medicine. You want to eat your ice cream. Come on, there's a difference. And so this is really key. This is really key. A willing mind. Do you know what every employer wishes that he could find? An employee with a willing mind. Do you know what every commanding officer wishes he could find? Soldiers with a willing mind. Do you know what every parent wishes they had? Teenagers with a willing mind. Do you know what the Savior longs for? Christians with a willing mind. If you're willing, it's easy. If you have to, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. So God help us not just to know what's right, not just to know what we ought to do, not just to know how we ought to do it, but to really and truly want to really and truly desire to do what God has told us to do. It makes it so much better, so much easier. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us, Lord, to have that new mind. Refresh our minds, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get in your word and make our minds new again, and give us that strong desire to serve you in whatever ways we can find here in Kuwait. Let us not grudgingly do things out of a sense of being forced to do it, Lord, but give us a strong desire to do whatever we can do to serve you, to serve others, because, Lord, we know there's many rewards that come from that, and we know that makes serving so much more pleasant and so much more so much easier to do, because we look forward to doing it and we don't dread it at all. That's where we need to be, Lord. We know that, but we need that new mind. We need to be refreshed always in your word. We need to have a strong desire, Lord, to be in your word so that we can get that new mind. So help us to start there, Lord, if we need to. Help us to be open to the suggestions of our brethren here when they have good ideas for ways we can serve you. And let us always be willing to do what we know is right, what you've shown us to be right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.